Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, March 10th, and this is this 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 43, the first paragraph that begins with Fred's story speaks, and we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Dory P., who will be reading the 12 Steps, Judy S., will be reading the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Dion R., Wendy P. B., and Deb E. The share ID for Tuesday, March 9th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 16,546. That's 16546. And for this morning's Wednesday, March 10th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 16,554. That's 16554. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Dory P. to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Dory.
Good morning, Kathleen. Dory P., compulsive overeater. Grateful to be here. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Dory P. And Judy S., if you'd read the 12 traditions, please.
Good morning. This is Judy S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Wisconsin. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 43, the first paragraph that begins with Fred's story speaks. We're reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. And Dion R., if you could get us started, please. Good morning, Dion. Dion,
hello.
Can you press start? There you are.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Dion R., grateful to get started this morning. This one paragraph. Recover compulsive overeater from that seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Fred's story speaks for itself. We hope it strikes home to thousands like him. He felt only the first nip of the ringer. Most alcoholics have to be pretty badly mangled before they really commence to solve their problems. Warning, warning. yes, that was me. I didn't think I was that bad when I came in over your Anonymous. So I thought I was just, just could take it or leave it alone. Like Jim and a couple other guys, it was just like, oh, I just do too much and all, you know. But no. I had to get beaten 23 years of in Overeaters Anonymous, gained 100 and some pounds in Overeaters Anonymous. Not because the program didn't work. Excuse me, it's because Dion wasn't working the program. I didn't work the 12 steps that they beautifully read and followed the traditions that kept groups together. I just tried to do it my way and couldn't understand why it wasn't working for me. I got badly mangled, really, while in the meeting, and I knew I couldn't stop because I knew if I stopped, I would die. Suicide, all that would have came in. And my higher power gave me the opportunity to see what would happen if I did take that step, you know, how would it take a train effect, ripple effect in my family, and I didn't want that. So I just said, well, I might as well try to get it together. And I did. In June 23rd, 2012, I decided to get, from a phone meeting, I decided, yes, I want this thing, and whatever they tell me to, I was willing to do. And yes, and all the mangling stopped. I still have pain. I still have life issues. But thank God, thank my higher power. I get through it, land on my feet, and share with someone else. Just don't pick up. Work the steps. Work with others. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this beautiful process.
And thank you, Dion R., for getting us started this morning. Okay. So we are on page 43, the first paragraph. Fred's story speaks, reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Deb E.
A.M.
Deb E. And who A.M.?
Bonnie.
Okay.
Donna B.
Tamara C.
Who was it? Tamara?
Yeah, Tamara C.
Okay, Tamara.
Dana Caroline S.
Okay, did I hear a Dana?
Dana P.
Dana P.
Caroline.
Did I hear a
Caroline S.
Caroline S. And did I hear a S as in Sam?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. And did I hear a gentleman's voice?
Must have been Bruce
Maybe.
E.
Oh, Bruce E. Okay, Bruce. Okay, let's stop there. I have Deb E., Bonnie A.M., Donna B., Tamara C., Dana P., Caroline S., and Bruce E. So go ahead, please, Deb E.
Hi, this is Deb E. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Israel. And that last sentence, that we have to be pretty badly mangled before really connecting to solve our problems. And when I, after hearing different people's stories and this and that, the 9.5 years it took me to find OA between the moment I understood that I had a problem with food to getting help doesn't seem like a long period of time. It felt like a really long period of time for me, but I'm really grateful that I came into program so young because, and mostly that I was, that the point I was at felt like, it was my bottom, and I felt like I was pretty badly mangled. But I realized that it could have gotten so much worse, and I'm so grateful that my tolerance for, my binging that was out of control and just all the compulsiveness and the body dysmorphia and the body image expression and all that, I'm glad that my tolerance was low enough to get me in at 26 because I realized since then that my tolerance for my character defects was actually a lot higher because I would continue to use some of those and the steps helped me and teach me how to deal with them when they come up, but I'm really grateful that I couldn't tolerate it any longer, that I was just, and that's the only reason I was willing to, it's just to commence, to begin, right? It was just the beginning to solve my problems, and I had no awareness around my character defects. I had no awareness that it wasn't, like, it ran much deeper than the food, and that's all I have to share for today. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb E. And Bonnie A.M., you are up, followed by Donna B. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Bonnie, are you ready for me? Okay.
Yes,
hi.
I am.
I'm
thanks,
Bonnie J.M.
Oh,
not
J.M.
M.
Thank you.
I'm J.M.
Thank you.
Because there's another Bonnie M. I came into this program in the early 80s, and I did not come in like most people. I was a white-knuckled, thin person, and I was losing it. And I came in because I had a client that wanted to go to OA, and I just went to an OA meeting just to check it out because I had, I had some judgments about it that were pretty ignorant. But anyway, I came to the meeting and I loved it. I didn't totally understand it, but I loved it, and I knew it was coming back. And I got a sponsor right away. And for people that have a hard time in the beginning admitting powerlessness, it took me a good year and a half to admit I was powerless over food. And I was going through the big book with my sponsor, and at some point she said to me, you're not going to get this because you're challenging everything. And she says, a challenger isn't going to get it because you'll always be challenging. And I thought about that, and she didn't give me the tool, act as if, but I decided I was going to act as if. And it was in acting as if that I finally got that I was powerless over food and how unmanageable my life was. And I was also very fortunate that I had somebody else in my life, a therapist, that basically was very into this process and said, trust the process, just trust this process. So it was what I decided to do. And what you said to me was, God gave you the gift of decision. It's a very important gift that you were given. And I decided to trust the process, and here it is, 2021, and I've been abstinent for a long time. I don't do time well, but I love this program, and it is my life, and thank you all for listening. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Bonnie J.M. And Donna B., you're up, followed by Tamara C. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. And my name is spelled D-A-N-A, but pronounced Donna. When I first came into OA, I was deeply mangled. And unfortunately, the way that deeply mangled manifests in my thought process is, I don't want to live like this. I can't live like this. When is this going to be over? I've never been suicidal. I have never had a plan, and I've never attempted to carry a plan through. But I have lived like the living dead for many, many years. And when I have the thought, I can't live like this, I don't want to live like this, I know that I'm revisiting that bottom where I am deeply mangled. And I've had it with the food, and I've had it with other manifestations of this disease. Most currently, I'm running into the awareness of how I live my life like a checklist of chores. I wake up with a list of things that I need to accomplish, and behind it is the delusion that if I complete my checklist of chores, I will be safe and protected. So my list of chores has become my higher power. It controls my life. And I am admitting now that checklist of chores has brought me to my knees, and I am deeply mangled, and I cannot replace a higher power, real higher power, a power that is beyond anything human, with a checklist that I've manufactured in my head. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Donna B. in Colorado. Tamara C., you're up, followed by Dana P. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning. This is Tamara C., gratefully recovered in California. So, yeah, some of us had to be badly mangled. Some people...
Tamara, we just lost you. Can you star one to unmute?
Here I am. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. So yes, so Fred only had to feel the first nip of the ringer. But whether we're badly mangled or just in the first nip of the ringer, what matters is that, like Fred, for me, I have to get to that place of seeing that willpower and self-knowledge, so any mental defense that I can raise is not going to help me. Fred saw that he had an alcoholic mind and was hopelessly defeated. And so wherever I'm at, that's where I need to be. Every day I need to remember I have an alcoholic mind. I'm a compulsive overeater. And nothing that I can do with my thinking or striving or fighting, nothing is going to be the solution. And that was the crushing blow that allowed Fred to commence to solve his problems by turning to the spiritual answer and program of action. And that's what I need to do, turn to the spiritual answer and the program of action. And for Fred, that included throwing out some lifelong conceptions out the window. And that's what I need to do too. And I can't do on my own. Even that's kind of a mental defense, like, oh, now I get these lifelong conceptions that are wrong, so now I can replace them with truth. And that's not true on my own power. They're going to try to crawl back through that window, and I need a higher power to heal me and replace those lifelong conceptions with truth. And this brings me to a satisfying and useful way of living, like it did for Fred. And that's the life I want every day. And it starts with remembering that I have no mental defense against my problems. And so we can commence to solve our problems by turning to the spiritual answer. I had to stop turning to my alcoholic substance, which is food. And I have to take action in the steps every day, which bring me to this satisfying way of living. I get to watch for my character defects, ask God to remove them, share them with a fellow, turn my mind to service. I'm learning to live close to my higher power in the evening and in the morning and throughout the day. And I try to carry the message to those who still suffer. And God keeps revealing my lifelong conceptions that try to come back. And I ask God to heal them and replace them. And I just can't believe it, but what a blessing that I get to be a compulsive eater, so that I turn every day to the spiritual answer and find a satisfying and useful way of living. Thank you, God. Oh, I'll pass.
Thank you, Tamara C. in California. And Dana P., Europe, followed by Caroline F. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. And thank you to all my fellows on the line. Everybody's focused on the badly mangled. And takes me back, have a little bit of a flashback to when I was really in my disease, or one side of my disease, if you will. And really, this chapter is, I like to call it more about insanity, because what was really going on was the insanity of my mind. But this is how it manifested on the outside, is that my mother was, well, I was going through a lot with my mother, way overworking, about 90 pounds. And 2 o'clock in the morning, I was running because that's what I needed to do, I thought, to make everything okay. And I was struck from the back accidentally by a young man on a bicycle. And I landed flat on my face on the pavement. And I jumped up, and all I could think of was, I have to get it together, suck it up, go get washed off so I can get to work. When I looked at myself in the mirror, when I finally got home, walked myself home, he wanted to call an ambulance, walked myself home, and I was still in denial, just a little ice on that, I'll be fine. Looked at myself in the mirror, and I looked as if I'd been beaten up and mauled by animals, talk about badly mangled. And I ended up going to the emergency room and, with stitches, and it was quite dramatic. So that one side with a restricting and running, constantly running away from myself, really away from my God and what was going on inside of me. And the fear, my biggest fear at that time, was that I would go back into my other cycle of the disease, which was continuously binging and purging by vomiting. And that's the insanity, you know, in my mind. And this disease manifests so many different ways for all of us. But ultimately, it's about that insanity in the mind. And what I have found as a result of this program is that now I have moderation in everything, not just in the physical. I have a meal plan that works for me. I take a gentle walk. I do some stretching in the physical, and I pretty much look like a normal person, for whatever that's worth. But the powerful part of it for me is that in my mind, I no longer have that compulsion, that the fear
the insanity of the compulsion to go, and to control everything in my life. That is moderated. It's moderated, and what I have now is what this promise. I'm happy, joyous, and most importantly, free. I'm free of the compulsion. I'm free of the insanity. So thank you so much, and with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Dana P. And Caroline S., you're up, followed by Bruce E. Good morning, Caroline.
Hi, good morning. Am I being heard?
Yes, you are.
Okay, thank you. I'm Caroline S. I'm from North Carolina, and I came to a vision for you in January. And throughout that time, I was caring for my very ill mother and trying to do everything that I was supposed to do, only I was fighting things still, fighting this, fighting that, fighting the doctor's opinion, oh, this, oh, that. And I realized, too, that I didn't think I was badly mangled, but I was more badly mangled than I realized. And with that, as my mother did pass away recently, both my sponsor and I decided I should take a step back for a few days and sort of, you know, get myself grounded. And through doing that, I realized that I had been fighting the first several months about things, and that was getting me nowhere. And yesterday I wrote, as I was listening to the meeting, yesterday I wrote in big letters, cease fighting. And even though I may not have been as mangled as some, or so I thought, but myself was all-encompassing still. I don't know how much I was able to turn over to my higher power that I really wanted to. But when I wrote cease fighting, what it really meant to me was, what do you do after you stop fighting? You surrender. So yesterday I was able to surrender again. And I have gone back to step one to regroup since my little 3 or 4 days off. I still listen to meetings, but I realized that without this structure and program, I was already back to thinking about what could I eat? What could I eat that didn't stray too bad, but wasn't quite straight on? And we all know that even a little bit is enough. So I'm very grateful to be back on the solid path and to have my higher power close to me and that I've surrendered. So with that, I pass and thank you.
Thank you, Caroline S. And before we take Bruce E., I just want to remind everyone that we're on page 43, the first paragraph, Fred's story speaks. And good morning, Bruce. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. This is Bruce E., and I'm recovered in Southwest Florida, Fort Myers, Florida area. And, man, thank you, everybody on the line. Fred's story, I would say Fred's story speaks for itself, doesn't it? I mean, this guy, he got a nip of the ringer, but he got a pretty good nip of the ringer, didn't he? And how much of the nip of the ringer did I get? When I came in the program 30 years ago, I thought I only got a nip of the ringer. But, man, I think I got a little more than a nip of the ringer. Standing in front of the cupboards, eating out of the boxes and bags, and just eating a little bit out of each one of them so that I could get away with it. Nobody in the family would know about it, and everybody would be sleeping. And they wouldn't know about it. They wouldn't notice it. Then sitting down on the couch, and then doing the Bermuda Triangle, going from the cabinet to the television to the couch, and then after I finished that, wanting more and going back and taking more from all of those, and then going to the refrigerator and going more and more and more into this entanglement of this ringer. And finally, after quite a few years of that, about 9 years of that type of thing, that sort of craziness. I met a woman and went to a workshop, met a woman, and she's a nurse practitioner. And I said, my God, man, this thing's just got me. you know, I just can't, you know, I just can't exercise it all off. You know, I just can't, I can't make it work. It's killing me. And she sent me to OA. They told me to go to OA. And I did. So then I spent 25 years dieting with group support. I'm a slow learner, a fast forgetter. My credits don't transfer, and I didn't come in here in a winning streak, you know. So I spent 25, like I say, you know, 2.5 decades trying to get this thing. And get a little bit of it, you know, then fail, a little bit more, then fail. Finally got into vision, and I realized that you can get recovered. You really, really can get recovered. You don't have to live like that anymore. I mean, it was tough enough ringing, you know, being in that ringer, but that was tough too, being in OA and doing that thing with dieting with group support. You know, that was tough also, because I finally came to the realization that I'm always going to be that way. I'm always going to do that. But then I finally got into vision, found out, no, I don't always have to do that. I don't always have to go 2 weeks and relapse, or a month and relapse, or 6 months and relapse. I can put down all the alcoholic foods, be on a food plan, have a sponsor. Yeah. Is that it? Okay. Well, that's it for me. Thanks a lot. I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. in Florida. Okay, we're on page 43, the first paragraph, Fred's Story Speaks. And if you have not shared in the last 3 days, we'd love to hear from you. So who'd like to share on that paragraph?
Wendy, PD?
Okay, I heard a Diane P and an H. I heard a P and an H. Who goes with the P and H?
I think it's Wendy, PB.
Wendy,
and
PB.
Jody H.
And Jody H. Okay, and who else? Did I hear a Diane?
Diane B.
Diane B. Anyone else? Okay, we'll be ready to get your name in, because I'm going to take some more after these.
Tara.
Wendy? Who is that? Tara?
Sorry, Geraldine O.
Okay, I didn't hear your first name. Sorry.
Geraldine O.
Oh, Geraldine O. Okay, thanks, Geraldine.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I have Wendy PB, Jody H, Diane B, and Geraldine O, and I'll be able to take a few more after them. So get ready, guys. Okay, Wendy PB, go ahead, please. Good morning.
Star one. I'm here. Just technical difficulties. Hi, I'm Wendy PB, recovered compulsive overeater in Chicago, Illinois. So grateful to be here and to hear this paragraph. I have a disease that likes to tell me that I don't have it as bad as other people, you know. And it, well, you never got to this place. You know, I like to qualify. My disease likes to qualify out. You know, well, your top weight was this, so that means that you weren't really that bad. But badly mangled is so subjective, right? And I'm relatively new, 7 months. I still consider that new, but... what I know today is that I had enough a nip of that ringer that I do not ever want to go back to the way I was living before I found this program. I wasn't suicidal, but I remember waking up in the morning and thinking, what's the point of life? I didn't want to be alive. There was no point in it for me. It was the same thing about, you know, what alcoholic food am I going to start the day with? And then I was off to the races for the whole day. So I was mangled enough, thank God, by the grace of God, thank God. I'm working my way through my amends, and I made an amends yesterday with someone who, in the blink of an eye, 20 years of bad feeling, and hard feelings was swept away. And I was able to see the miracle
of what happens in this program and to feel the change down the depth of my soul. And thank God I was mangled enough to get into, to pick up the phone and find a vision for you and find Overeaters Anonymous and to be given the grace of knowing where to go for help and you know what the problem was, and to be led to the people I needed to be led to walk me through this book and to walk me through this process. Yet again, I'm in another program, but yeah, the credits don't transfer. So that's all I wanted to share, is just that thank God I was badly mangled. Thank God. When I walked into these rooms, I asked people, you know, if there's something better on the other side, because I could not imagine life without my alcoholic foods. And they said, yeah. And yeah, if you're new, if you're struggling, if you don't understand it, if you haven't got it, quote unquote, got it yet, there's something wonderful on the other side. Stick around for the miracle. I'm so grateful to be here today, grateful for the opportunity to share. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Wendy PB from Illinois. Jody H., you're up, followed by Diane B. Go ahead, please, Jody. Star one to unmute, Jody.
Yeah.
Okay. There you are.
Sorry about that. My name is Jody H. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Maine. And when we read this today, I said to myself, was I badly mangled? In my own opinion, I was, but not just physically and mentally, but emotionally and spiritually. 5 years ago, I had lost 135 pounds through intense exercising. And I injured myself because I figured no pain, no gain. And I actually ruptured my bicep tendon because I had done so many, I couldn't do many exercises with my legs because I have a bad knee. But I was overworking my arms in my exercising, and I injured myself. And as a result, I regained not all of it, but some of it. And I realized my surgeon said that in order to give me my total knee replacement, I would have to lose 15 pounds. I mean, 15, not 50, not 500, just 15 pounds. And that was 2.5 years ago. And I couldn't do it. I tried and I kept gaining weight. And so I came to a place this past May in 2020, thanks to coronavirus. I was gaining weight incredibly because I was very inactive and I couldn't go out places. And so anyway, I thought to myself, what am I going to do? I can't live without this surgery. I'm going to end up in a wheelchair. And so anyway, so I said to myself, I'm in another 12-step program, which is helping me to grow up emotionally and mentally and spiritually also. And I went to this other program, and there was a friend of mine there that had been part of some kind of eating program, and I didn't know what it was. So she gave me the number and the address for Vision. And I got on, and that was last May, and as of today, I'm ready for surgery. I'll be having my knee surgery in May. The doctor told me that my blood work was so good and my cholesterol was outstanding, that she said, whatever you're doing, keep doing it, because your numbers are fantastic. And anyway, this program's been great. I just did a lot of eye rolling over the phone with my sponsors, but my higher power helped me to stay there, and it's been a great journey, and I'm looking forward to each and every day and each and every share, and I'll pass.
Thank Thank you, Jody H. from Maine. Diane B., good morning. You're up, followed by Geraldine O.
Good morning. Thank you so much for taking my call. And I'm so grateful for you, Kathleen, and all those that are helping on the line today and help each day giving service to this program. Okay, so the word mangled was kind of interesting to me, so I looked it up in the dictionary, and one of the definitions was severely injured, damaged, cutting, tearing, or crushing. But the second definition is the one that stood out to me, and that is spoiled, made incoherent. And that is certainly me. For years, I acted like a child. I want what I want, and I want it now, and I want to eat my cake, and I want to have it too, so I can be thin and look great and feel better. And so it's taken me over 40 years to be mangled and to be given the gift of desperation to the point, which is what the food does to us. It gives us the gift of desperation so that we are willing to turn our eyes to God and ask for his help and to be humbled in the bodies that we are given. And I'm just so grateful for this program because it speaks truth, and I'm a truth seeker, and I want to know the truth, and I want to know the truth about me. I want to know the truth about how I act and how that affects other people around me, and how I've made many mistakes and have damaged some relationships, and how important it is to clean those up and become closer to God and my fellows. And I'm just so grateful for this program and grateful to be mangled. I'm grateful to have the gift of desperation because it's led me to this program and to the Big Book and to God. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Diane B. in California. And Geraldine O., you are up. And after Geraldine, we'll take some more names. So go ahead, please, Geraldine.
Oh, great. Thank you very much. My name is Geraldine O. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Ireland. And thanks to everyone on the line, and thanks to all the people who are moderating and reading today for your service. I suppose there's lots about Fred's story that I could identify with, you know, the link to finance, the happy family, you know, appearing that everything should be great from the outside. I could say, yeah, I was a lot like that. But unfortunately, this disease had not beaten. So I'm 45 years old, and, you know, for I think all of my life, I have been battling. Sorry, can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I wasn't sure if there was interference. For all of my life, I have been battling what I thought was with food. But, you know, thanks to this program, you know, I have realized that my problem wasn't food. My solution was food. So this paragraph says to us, we need to be pretty badly mangled. If I think back to when I came into this program 4.5 months ago, and I look back, I can now see how badly mangled I was. You know, physically, you know, my body was showing all the signs of having overeaten all of my life, even with some success with diets, but I always gained back more than I ever lost. But as well as that, you know, I was just distraught at that stage. You know, I didn't have any solution to my day-to-day problems but to eat. You know, as I was eating towards the end, I was getting no enjoyment. I wasn't even getting the 9 seconds ease and comfort. And, you know, I was going around with that sense of discontentment and irritability all of the time. And I didn't know that such a program existed. But, you know, when I look back now, and I'm so grateful for that day 4.5 months ago when I picked up the phone and, you know, phoned the person who had become, you know, my really great sponsor, who took me through this program, took me through the steps, introduced me to OA, and let me see that, you know, there is a solution to my problems, and that it's no longer food, that I have tools that are there. I have my higher power to lean on. I no longer feel this pressure every day of having to have all of the answers, because I know that he will have them. And as a result, I am a lot more relaxed. So I'm really grateful, and really grateful that I'm no longer that badly mangled person that I was, you know, in late October, as a result of this program and a result of the great fellowship and support that I get from everyone on the line. So I would say to any newcomers, it works. It really does. And, you know, you will know a life beyond your dreams in that fourth dimension. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Geraldine O. from Ireland. Okay, we're on page 43, the first paragraph. I can take a couple more shares. Who would like to share who hasn't shared in the last 3 days?
Chris A.
Was that Chris?
Paul G.
Barbara W.
Okay, hold on. Was it Chris or Trish?
Chris A.
Chris A. Okay, and then I heard Paul D, I believe.
And yeah, V is in Victor.
Paul? Oh, V is in Victor. Thank you, Paul.
Yep.
And did I hear one more person after Paul?
Barbara W.
Barbara W. Okay, and we're going to stop there. If you each want to take a couple minutes, we can get all three. Otherwise, we'll get you the next day, Barbara. So go ahead, please, Chris A.
Thank you. Fred's story speaks for itself. And, you know, I came in a couple of months ago and had a miracle of recovery, found a sponsor, went through the steps, and I never in my wildest dreams thought I would feel recovered. But the thing is, I'm realizing that it's because Fred's story speaks for itself and your stories did. And when I came in and started hearing people talk about lives that were recovered from compulsive eating, it was such an inspiration because I knew nothing else worked. And again, the mangling of being a compulsive overeater, being badly mangled, I knew nothing else worked. And I'm thankful for God just allowing me to finally get to a place of full surrender, knowing that my self-reliance and my willpower couldn't do it. And then now what I have is the gift of knowing that being recovered doesn't mean that everything is going to go smoothly 100% of the time, but that it means I'm giving God each day I have, and I'm asking him to have me be equipped to live whatever portion he has for me each day. And even though there are some things that are tough right now, it's like it's not because of the food. It's not because of shame. It's not because of the pain of having overeaten last night. It's just real life. And so I just want to thank all of you for the ways that you have shared your stories, because I am truly free from physical cravings and obsession of the mind, and I'm just very grateful for all of you. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Chris A. And Paul V., go ahead, please.
Hi, thank you. My name is Paul, and I am a recovering food addict, and I live in Alberta, Canada. When I first read those words, you know, the nip of the ringer, I was reminded of a conversation I had with some of my children years ago now, because, you know, kids today, they don't know what a ringer is. They've never seen one. And so I said, when you in the washing machine, you wash your clothes and then imagine this machine that's got like two rolling pins fairly close together, and you feed the clothes through the rolling pins and it squeezes the extra water out. That's what a wringer is. And I remembered when I was a boy, I was, I don't know, 8 or 9, I guess. And we had a wringer, a washing machine with a wringer in the basement. And one day I'm helping my mom do the laundry and my hand started to go through. It got caught. And I didn't say anything at first. And I'm just watching this happen. And I didn't say anything. And I had this thought while this is happening. I'm thinking, oh, this is where basketball players come from, because they go through the ringer and they get squeezed out and they're 8 feet tall at the end. And I'm watching this happen and I still don't say anything. Well, now the ringer's about halfway up my forearm and it's starting to really hurt. And I go, mom. And she reaches over and she pops this lever and it pops the two rolling pins apart. And I'm not 8 feet tall today. And so, the first time I read that, that was what I thought of. I remember that time when I was a kid. And the second time I read it through, the words clearly came to me. Who's going through the ringer now, Paul? And I realized it's my wife and my kids that are going through the ringer, and I'm putting them through it. It's me doing it, and I'm hurting them. And I need to do something till I can stop hurting them. And when that became so clear to me, I knew I had to do something different than what I've been trying to do for years. And so I'm very grateful that through the program, I have real hope that I'm going to stop putting my wife and my kids through the ringer, because I have, I've been in the program for 49 days as of today. Today is day 30 of abstinence for me, and I'm very grateful for that. I'm very grateful for the program, and I'm very grateful that there's real hope that with God's help that I'm going to be able to change. And thank you for having me share, and with that I pass.
And thank you, Paul V. in Canada. And I'm so sorry we're out of time, so Barbara W., hopefully we can get to you tomorrow. So we thank you, everyone who shared today. Special thanks to Team Wednesday. And we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Wendy PB, if you would please read A Vision for You.
I would be happy to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.